not just a God of revelation, because it is in Isaac that one of the primary revelations of the Old Testament of a God who was able to allow somebody to die and then raise him to life again is presented to the peoples of the world. And if you remember the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it is declared that God actually allowed Isaac, as it were, to die, because there was no question about God's ability to raise him back to life again. And so he was reckoned dead and reckoned alive again by the resurrection power of God. So he is seen not only as a God of revelation, but as a God of redemption. And when he is identified as the God of Jacob, he is seen not only as a God of revelation, not only as a God of redemption, he is seen also as a God of regeneration. Because it is preeminently in Jacob, the leading Old Testament character, in which there is exemplified the power of God to transform and change men's lives. Now, this is the God who is at issue on the one side. On the other side, there is the God identified here by the Hebrew word Baal. Baal. Now, Baal was the Lord of the sun. He was the God of fire. He was the God of fertility. He was the one who supposedly controlled the elements, and especially those elements that center in heat. One of the imperative things for the growth of crops and other things to help in this earth. And he is on the other side. Now, if there's any God who should have been calculated to answer by fire, it should have been this God on the other side. And Elijah makes no bones about it. He makes the issue square before the people. He puts before them a God who on the one side should have been able to produce fire, because he's the God of fire. He's the God of the sun. He's the sun God, the God of heat. On the other side, there is Jehovah God. And Elijah leaves no question about it. He asked God to be put through the test in an ultimate way. When the showdown came, he sowed everything down with water to be sure that the people would recognize that it is the God who answers by fire, that God is to be God. He is to be recognized as such. Now that brings before us the second thing, the divine prerogative. Look at verse 24. In the middle of verse 24, when Elijah confronted the people and began to give the mandate and the issue that was to take place in the great converse on top of Mount Carmel, in verse 24, he faces the false prophets and he says, "Call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord." And it's the same word, the word for Jehovah. "And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Now, it looks as if God's at a handicap, doesn't it? Well, friends, if you believe that, you need to stop and remind yourself that God is never at a handicap. He never runs into a single moment that he cannot control. Nothing ever takes him by surprise, and he leaves no real disappointments behind him. This God, who is identified here as the Lord or Jehovah God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the God who already had answered preeminently by fire all through history. He is the God who continued to answer by fire. He answers by fire today. But the strange thing, and the thing that confuses so many people, is that God does not intend in this age to answer by licking tongues of flame that come down to devour things like in that age. But he answers by fire just as certainly as he did then. And he even identifies the kind of the fire that he answers by. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, our God is a consuming fire. And everywhere God works, flames begin to lick at those things that oppose him and those things that join him. Is there any flame in your heart? Is there any fire in your life? The kind of fire in which he works in this age is identified in the second chapter of Acts, when there descended upon them the energy of the Holy Spirit that took form in cloven tongues, divided tongues like as of fire, distributed upon them, and it rested upon them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and started to speak everywhere they went. They shared Jesus. They talked about him. This is the fire of this age. But you don't have to go past the early verses of the Bible to decipher how God answered by fire. No sooner had Adam and Eve sinned, and they were driven out of the garden, and there was placed an angel with a flaming sword to guard the way of the tree of life. When Sodom and Gomorrah declined into terrible sin against God, God answered by literal and actual fire. When Abraham raised the parts of a sacrifice before God, a burning, smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between the parts of that sacrifice to betoken God's answer by fire. When Moses was in the loneliness of the desert experience on the backside of Midian, God spoke to him through a burning bush. On Mount Sinai, God blasted off the top of it with His holiness by fire and cloud and thick darkness. And when the people were wandering in the wilderness, God led them by day by a pillar of cloud and by night by a pillar of fire. And all through the Bible, God answers by fire. He's going to answer one more time by literal fire. One of these days, this earth is going to be burned up and all that is within it. And all the elements are going to melt with white hot heat. And God's going to have His last answer by fire. And so Elijah was right. The God who answers by fire, let Him be God. And the people, still uncertain, they did not know. They stood between the two gods, between them, between two opinions. And they said, it is well spoken. So we have before us the divine prerogative. The God who answers by fire, let Him be God. Now finally, we have before us a divine imperative. I want to ask you if this makes sense. If it doesn't, forget it. If it doesn't go your way and dismiss it, like most people are, you have the same prerogative they do, the same choice. You can perhaps even feel free and easy dealing against God and to be the loser. You'll never win standing against Him. But here is the divine imperative. If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, and we could place in our situation any one of multitudinous gods on the other side. Bacchus, the god of wine. Venus, the goddess of love, sex. All of these things. We could place them on one side of the line. Place them there, epitomized by the very name that is used here. Baal, the Lord, the sun god. All of these. And incidentally, that god is still being worshipped today. If you don't believe it, go to the beaches on a Sunday. And see if the sun god is not still in vogue and not still very much bowed down to the sun god. Now these are the issues. This is the issue. This is the imperative. If God is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. Now the problem is some of you remain undecided. And I want to conclude tonight with what Elijah said. How long? How long are you going to continue like that? God will not put up with it forever. And I stand on the authority of everything He's ever said and done to tell you that. I have no authority innate to myself or inherent in myself, but everything God has ever done declares that. How many times have God's people stood like the old fabled donkey between two bags of oats, halfway between? And every time he started to turn one way or the other, the aroma of the other bag of oats enticed him, and he literally starved to death, according to the fable, halting between the two. How many of God's people are like that? How long? You say, but I'm not ready yet. Do you think God's going to wait on your readiness? But the time is not convenient. Isn't this what one of the kings said to one of the apostles? When I have a more convenient time, I'll call for you. Am I supposed to believe that the Almighty God is going to wait on your convenience? How long? How long are you going to, literally the verse says, limp back and forth between two opinions like a hobbled man, drunken and staggering. One moment he thinks God is God and he seeks to move in His direction, but no sooner does he do that than the aroma, so to speak, of the other enticement comes to him and back he hobbles to the other side. How long? How long? The divine imperative is, if the Lord is God, follow Him. Now, should you decide, and I know God will be happy to know that you decided to write. It'll be such a flattery to Him to know that you decided to write. But should you decide to decide to write, then I want to tell you what God demands of you. First of all, He demands repentance. Repentance. Verse 39 says, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. It's a repentance that is clearly based on revelation and a consequent change of mind that produces a change of your very direction of life. Repentance. Secondly, it demands acceptance. A humble acceptance of everything God hungers for out of you. where you fall on your face and say, I